Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. Max Chadwick alongside Dalton Wasserman here. So we already did a video breaking down the 12 college football playoff teams from last season and why they can make it back to the playoff next year. Now what we're going to do is go over 12 teams that did not make the college football playoff last year that can make it this upcoming season, Dalton. So it's going to be interesting, to, you know, because last year's teams, you know, there's a lot of teams that are going to be, again, really, really good going into next year. These are kind of the teams, though, that had maybe a little bit of a disappointing season by their standards that we think could bounce back and make the playoff next
year. Yeah, I mean, it's the close but no cigar teams, right? And I'm curious over multiple years how this pattern goes with an expanded playoff to 12 and maybe probably eventually to 14 or 16 of how many teams from the previous field are going to return, right? I think about in the NFL, usually it hovers around half make it back and half don't. I think even in baseball, it's kind of the same way with a 12-team format. But with college football and the way that recruiting is and the way you can kind of roll things over, some of those teams at the top obviously are going to make it again, right? They have too much talent not to. But we've got a lot of interesting teams, and I think a theme here is going to be a wide-open race in one of these conferences. I'm sure the fans already know which one, but that's going to be heavily featured. But there's a lot of interesting teams that feel like they at least had a chance last year, and they feel some of them maybe feel slighted by the committee, but there's a chance that a lot of these teams have a lot of talent coming back, and they could make it in this year.
Absolutely. So we're sticking to only Power 4 teams right now. Obviously, there will be a group of 5 teams, as there is every single year in the new playoff format that makes the playoff. We'll be doing a separate video, though, breaking down 5 group of five playoff teams that can make it next year. So we're going over just Power 4 today, and of course, all the stats that we're going to talk about today are available to you guys with a PFF Plus subscription. So get it at subscribe.pff.com. Get access to all the grades for every player in college football, every team in college football, every player and team in the NFL as well. Get all the best draft coverage as well for the 2025 NFL draft. And of course, access to our mock draft simulator. You can draft a full 7 rounds of your favorite team or all 32 NFL teams. And you can trade players and trade picks with that mock draft simulator. But all right, let's get into this video and go over the 12 teams that can make the playoff next year that did not this past year. Dalton, who's like the top team for us right now that we think, okay, they're probably going to make it to the playoff next year?
The one I would feel the best about making it that didn't last year is Alabama. And you look at outside of a losing quarterback, Jalen Milroe, and we assume right now it's going to be Ty Simpson playing quarterback. Maybe Austin Mack is in that competition. I don't know that Kalen DeBoer would get brave enough to use the true freshman, Keelan Russell, but you look at every other spot on their team, they are absolutely loaded. You start at wide receiver with guys like Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard. Isaiah Horton, the transfer from Miami, is a very good player who could help them a lot. Their offensive line is bringing back 3 very good starters, and this defense, I'm going to tell you something, with what they have coming back and certain guys in a similar manner to what we saw, I believe, who was it last year that brought back a ton of defensive players, or even this year we've talked about Clemson doing the same. Yeah. You've got an Alabama team with this defense, Deontay Lawson coming back, Damani Jackson, LT Overton, Tim Keenan, and then, you know, even adding transfers like Nakai Hill-Green at linebacker, Cam Calhoun's a young cornerback from Utah that I really like a lot. I just think when you look at how much is coming back, both for this defense and then with the weaponry on offense, especially at wide receiver, I know there's a lot of, you know, questions about Kalen DeBoer and his ability to lead this program all the way back to the top, to the heights that Nick Saban did, but I think if they figure out this quarterback situation, Alabama is going to be extremely dangerous, and depending on the level of play, let's say right now it's Ty Simpson, they could be in the national championship picture. There's too much talent coming back to this team not to think that they should make a 12-team playoff.
I mean, absolutely, yeah. Kalen DeBoer's first year, they finished as the number 11 team in the final college football playoff ranking, so they were just outside making the college football playoff this past year, and they bring back a lot of talent, like you mentioned, man. They have my number 2 receiver in college football in Ryan Williams, only behind Jeremiah Smith. Jeremy Bernard, you mentioned him, is a really good wide receiver as well. Jalen Mbakwe, who's a really talented corner, now a wide receiver for Alabama. He switched positions this offseason. Caden Proctor, one of the best offensive tackles in the country, might be a top 10 pick at tackle if he develops. Parker Brailsford, one of the best centers in the country, he's back for another year. Jaden Roberts, one of the best guards in the country, he's back for another year. Both those guys were in the top 10 of my top interior offensive linemen in college football. You mentioned it, man. You got LT Overton, my number 5 edge in America. Tim Keenan, my number 3 D tackle in America. Deontay Lawson is going to be one of the best linebackers in the country. Bray Hubbard, one of the best safeties in the country. Ty Simpson, yeah, is a brand new quarterback. We don't really know much about him as a starter, but he was a 5-star recruit coming out in that 2022 recruiting class. And they've had a top three recruiting class in seven straight years now. So talent will never be an issue at Alabama. So not only do they have a lot of youngsters who are former five stars that are ready to break out now, they also have a lot of talent coming back next year. And I'm with you, man. I really think Alabama is going to bounce back in a big way. They should make the playoff next year.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes down to the backfield, right? I think they're kind of thin at the running back position behind Jam Miller. And again, the quarterback battle is going to be something we're going to be watching all summer, all the way through August. And we've seen Alabama in the past. Now, this was under Nick Saban, but we've seen in the past where they have allowed even a quarterback competition to leak into the early parts of the season. That's going to be the question mark. It's obviously the question mark you don't necessarily want to have on your team, but for as loaded as the rest of their roster is, they should be able to support a first-year starting quarterback.
Absolutely. So Alabama was one of our top 10 teams in our way too early top 25. Another team that we really like going to next year from the SEC is the Texas A&M Aggies, who were 8-5 last year. They bring back a lot of really good players as well, like Armaj Reed Adams, the best guard in America. Kevin Concepcion transferring in from NC State. He's an electric route runner, one of the best receivers in America. And Cassius Howell, know the name right now, because he's a guy who's going to break out, I think, an edge rusher. He had a really good year as kind of a rotational player. He was a transfer from Bowling Green, but obviously he was sitting behind guys like Shamar Stewart and Nick Scorton, who might both be first-round picks in this year's draft. He should break out next year, and I'm a big fan of Texas A&M right now, man. They bring back Marcel Reed at quarterback. Le'Veon Moss is back at running back, a really talented running back as well. They bring back a really, really good receiving core. You got Terry Bussey, former five-star recruit, was really electric as a true freshman. He's back. Like I said, Concepcion's in there as well. Mario Craver had a really good year at Mississippi State last year. Micah Hudson transferred in as well from Texas Tech. Now, there's some off-field stuff going him right now. I think he stepped away from the team for mental health reasons, but if he's back with the team, he's a very, very talented player. The offensive line returns a lot of starters from last year, like Trey Zune, Chase Besantis, Reed Adams, like I said, and Crownover is a really good player as well. So I really like what they have right now, man, and they brought in some nice transfers on the defense. Torian York is one of the best linebackers in America as well. So this is a good defense and a really, really good offense. And really, I think if Marcel Reed can keep developing as a passer, they have a lot of talent. I mean, Amari Nyeblock, I didn't mention him either. He transferred in from Alabama. We liked him a lot as an athletic tight end too. So there's a lot of talent on this offense. It's really just a question of can Marcel Reed continue developing as a passer.
Yeah, I think what you have here is a team that is very much built in Mike Elko's vision with a very good defense. You mentioned York. I think about Will Lee at corner as well. They got some transfers in like Deion Hayes, the defensive end from Colorado, Julian Humphrey, Jordan Shaw. So I think defense first, and then this run game. When you talk about, you know, you look at it on the surface, has three legitimate rushing threats in Marcel Reed at quarterback, Le'Veon Moss back healthy, Amari Daniels in the backfield as well, and then even Kevin Concepcion, who in the past was, even though he's a wide receiver, the leading rusher for NC State. I honestly believe he's going to add another X factor in the run game as well as the passing game. And you mentioned that the ceiling of this team comes down to how much they can develop Marcel Reed's arm and this passing game, certainly in the drop back game. If Texas A&M gets ahead of you with their run game and their defense, they're extremely dangerous, right? But it's in those drop back situations that they were missing an experienced passer last year. Reed maybe has taken that experience that from starting down the stretch last year in the SEC. If they can drop back without play action, they can really raise the ceiling. I think getting Concepcion, getting Mario Craver, having Terry Bussey, who's a dynamic athlete, I think you're really talking about an offense that could be two-dimensional, but it's going to depend on Marcel Reed's development.
Absolutely, yeah. Texas A&M currently our number 10 team in our way too early top 25 right now. Alabama's number 8 in that ranking. Another team, Dolan, that was in the top 12 was the LSU Tigers, another SEC team here at number 11. What do you like about LSU going into next year?
I think you start with the base of bringing back their quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, and it was a real decision for him to come back to school, right? He could have gone out in the NFL. He could have been maybe the third quarterback taken in this year's draft. He's got a lot of talent. He's developed during his time down there in Baton Rouge, and I think that's where it starts. When you have one of, I would say, the top five quarterbacks in America coming back, you've got a shot, right? And I think the biggest thing is getting replacements for weapons that they've lost the last couple of years. Obviously, Neighbors and Brian Thomas last year. They lose Kyron Lacy this year, who was their top receiver, Mason Taylor at tight end. But you bring in Berrion Brown, who's a speedster from Kentucky. You bring in Nick Anderson from Oklahoma. You know, and they got to replace some guys on the offensive line, too. As we know, four of their five starting offensive linemen are in this year's NFL draft. So they're going to need to protect Nussmeier as well. But when you have that guy at quarterback, and I think an emerging star running back in Caden Durham, you could add more balance to this offense. There's certainly more to fill in around him, but when you have that base in the backfield, you have a chance offensively. And then Now the X factor for them is their defense. That's really what's let them down the last 2 years, despite having an elite offense in 2023 and something, you know, at least close to it. Last year, Harold Perkins has to come back healthy, right? Transfers like Mansur Delane and Patrick Payton have to come through for them and raise the floor of this defense too, because just too many explosive plays given up, particularly in the passing game. They can't win shootouts in the 30s and 40s every single week. They have to add balance to this team. But if you have Nussmeier and you have as much talent as they do on both sides of the ball, they should have a shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah, listen, they retooled the receiving core. You got Nick Anderson transferring in, Berrion Brown transferring in as well. They're both talented players. And then you mentioned it, really, I have no doubt that Garrett Nussmeier is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in America. He was easily one of my top 10 quarterbacks in the country coming back. They're going to have a really good offense with him and that receiving core. Aaron Anderson's a good player as well, who's back for another year. Caden Durham, mentioned him, is going to be a really good running back for them. The offensive line is obviously going to be a question mark when you lose that many starters and that many really good starters in the offensive line. But they did bring in some guys like Josh Thompson, who I like, and Braylon Moore at center as a transfer as well. But it's all about the defense, as it's been the last few years. I mean, let him down the Jaden Daniels Heisman year, and let him down last year. And we'll see what it comes like next year, man, because they do have some talent coming in, right? Patrick Payton was, for a lot of people, a projected first-round pick entering the year, kind of had a disappointing year at Florida State this past year. Now he's at LSU. Bring back Harold Perkins Jr., who, like I said, is recovering from that torn ACL. A lot of people had him as a first-round pick going into the year as well. Whit Weeks is a really good linebacker, so they have a very, very good linebacker unit. Mansour Delane, I think, is a really, really good get for Brian Kelly. He's a really good corner coming in from Virginia Tech. But it's all about the defense, as it's been for the last few years for LSU, and they're probably going to have enough offensively to keep up with the top teams in the SEC. But if they don't have the defense to compete, man, they're probably going to miss the playoff once again.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't just outscore everybody every week. It's just not how football works, right? Eventually, if you get into a game, I think about the Ole Miss game, right? I think that game ended, 27-20, and they won that game, but it was a struggle. It took all the way to overtime, and Ole Miss kind of had the same issue where, okay, you couldn't just outscore them. You have to find other answers. So there is a floor here with Nussmeier in the offense, but they need to make stops, and they need to make sure that in big games they're not giving up 35-plus points.
Absolutely. So another team that had its best season in a long time was the South Carolina Gamecocks, who finished number 19 in the final AP ranking. The last time they were that high was in 2013, when they finished number 4 in the AP ranking. So it's been a very, very long time since South Carolina was that good. Really big breakout year for the Gamecocks. A lot of guys coming back. Obviously, you see on the screen right there, Dylan Stewart, who is an electric sophomore edge rusher, coming back. He's probably going to be a guy you're going to hear a lot about, top 5 pick, or maybe even number 1 overall pick in the 2027 NFL draft. He is an electric player. Lenora Sellers has some work to do as a passer, but no doubt that he is a really, really good running quarterback, and he's a guy that could have a major breakout year next year. Jalen Kilgore at corner is a good player as well. But yeah, they're going to need Sellers to develop more as a passer, because right now he had a 70.6 passing grade this past season. So he is talented. There's no doubt about it. He's got a lot of physical tools, but they're going to need a little bit more out of him as a passer. But otherwise, man, they have a lot of talent still on that defense, even after losing so many stars. Dylan Stewart, like I said, should be one of the best players in the country as a sophomore. It's going to be another interesting year for South Carolina, but I think the big key is, can Lenora Sellers keep developing as a passer?
Yeah, we know they're going to be able to run the ball, right? They've got Sellers' rushing abilities himself. They've got the Utah State transfer running back, Rasul Faison, who had an 89.2 rushing grade last year, plus Oscar Hathaway, who was a really good second back for him last year behind Rocket Sanders. The development of him as a passer, throwing to guys like Nick Harbor on the outside. And then, look, they're replacing a lot in this defense. And I know they have Dylan Stewart and DQ Smith and a couple other guys on a very talented defense. But look at the guys that we're talking about that are going to be drafted in this year's draft. Kyle Kennard, TJ Sanders, yep. Nicky Manwari, Demetrius Knight. These are excellent players who all may go somewhere in the top 50 or 60 of this year's draft. So Clayton White's got a real job to do in replacing so much of this defensive talent, right? Can they be as good defensively? I know last year they were a top 3-5 defense. Can they stay on that level defensively, or are Sellers and the offense going to have to balance it out? Because at times last year, it was inconsistent. When they got hot and Sellers got hot throwing the ball, especially downfield, they were really good. They're tough to stop when they're two-dimensional, and I think they're going to need more of that considering the number of high-end starters they're replacing on this defense.
Absolutely. There's a lot of defensive guys that are losing from last year's team. But like I said, you got Dylan Stewart coming back, DQ Smith's a really good safety coming back as well. Jalen Kilgore is a pretty good corner coming back. So there is talent coming back, and they brought in a lot of projected starters. They have I think 5 projected starters on defense that are going to be transfers. So a you know, a new defense in a lot of ways for South Carolina, but when you got stars like Dylan Stewart and maybe Lenore Sells, if we can keep developing, there is a high ceiling for this team. So we did four straight SEC teams. I'm sure a lot of people right now are pretty sick of hearing us talk about SEC teams. Let's get to the non-SEC teams right now, Dolan, that we think have a great shot at making the playoffs, starting off with the Miami Hurricanes, who have a brand new quarterback after losing Cam Ward from last year. What do you like about the Hurricanes going next year?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's forgotten because of the struggles, some of the struggles he went through at Georgia last year, just how good Carson Beck is, right? The year before last, he was one of the, I would say, five best quarterbacks in America, right? We were expecting him to do that again this past season, but I think you've got a team that still has a lot of talent coming back. Their defensive line is still going to be really good, headlined by Ruben Bain. You know, their offensive line with Francisco Malanoa there at right tackle. They've got a lot of pieces to work with, but it's going to center around Carson Beck. Now, they're going to have to be more balanced. Their secondary is going to have to be better than it was last year because that's what cost them a playoff spot last year, and I think they need to make up that difference because for as good as Carson Beck is, he's not going to be Cam Ward, right? Yeah. At least we don't think he's going to be Cam Ward and be, what was he, fourth in the Heisman voting and arguably the best quarterback in the country this past season. So I think it centers around back. It centers around having a little more balance in the run game, right? Mark Fletcher is still there in the backfield, and you've got a really good defensive line on defense. They just have to fix the back seven of that defense and balance out this team a little more because you can't expect Beck to do things out of structure the way that Cam Ward did. In structure from the pocket, absolutely, he's extremely accurate. We know what he can do. We've seen him at the peak of his powers at Georgia, but now he has to go down to Miami and play that complementary role and at times win them enough games in the same way that Ward did, but he's not going to be able to improvise as much. They need to fix the back seven of this defense. If they can do that, they have a shot to contend in the ACC.
Absolutely. If you just look at what Miami's losing, they are losing a lot of talent from last year's team. Obviously, Cam Ward, Xavier Restrepo, Damian Martinez, Elijah Arroyo. All those guys are gone, right? And they do lose some guys in defense too that are pretty good players like Simeon Barrow and Francisco Malanoa, but they do have a lot of guys to get excited about. And I think Carson Beck is getting slept on a little bit. I'm with you. He was the number one quarterback for us going into the year at Georgia. He still had a solid year overall. I think it was kind of overblown how bad Carson Beck was last year. I don't think it was that bad at all. He had still had like an 80 passing grade last year. Georgia had 31 drops on the season. That was tied for the second most in the Power Four. So he did not have any help at all in terms of that receiving core. And I think a big part of that was obviously losing Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey. It didn't look the same. But I still thought Beck was good enough last year. And since over the last 2 years, he has a 90.9 overall grade. That's the second best of any returning quarterback in the country, right? So I think Carson Beck's still one of the best quarterbacks in America. And I think he'll still be that at Miami next year. But you're right, they're going to have a lot of different players now in that receiving core. They still have a really good right tackle and Francis Malanoa, who might be a top 10 pick for some people on the offensive line, but it's going to be a lot of pressure on Beck next year with that brand new receiving core. I mean, they right now are projected to start a true freshman at one of the receiver spots within Malachi Toney, right? So he's a talented kid coming out of high school, obviously, but only a true freshman. You got a true sophomore and Josiah Trader, another wide receiver. So, and then CJ Daniels transferring in from LSU. So hopefully he can have a better year than he did last year. But looking at the defense, though, they bring back Akeem Mezador. They bring back Ruben Bain Jr. is one of the best edges in America. Maybe play a little more interior deep line is what they're talking about for him next year. So there is talent on this defense, and I like what they did in the portal as well, addressing the secondary, bringing guys like Charles Brantley, really good nickel corner. Ethan O'Connor's a really good player from Washington State as well. So they did address the secondary. Yeah, it might not be as good of an offense as last year's team, and you shouldn't expect that out of Miami, but I think Carson Beck is as good of a replacement as you could have hoped for getting after losing Cam Ward. So I think they did a pretty good job.
For sure. I think especially the floor he gives you when you, and I know he went through a couple of spurts last year because he was really forcing it with the struggles at receiver and even at offensive tackle at Georgia, but for the most part, Beck is not going to lose you football games, right? Again, there was a couple of stretches, you know, even the Texas game, the first one was kind of rough, but I think you mentioned it. Beck is as good as they could have done if they're still trying to contend with Clemson in the ACC this year.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to one of the Big 12 teams that we think could be really competing with Arizona State at the top of the conference, and that is the BYU Cougars, who were fantastic this past year with an 11-2 record. They didn't even make a bowl game last year. So they go from not making a bowl game to going 11-2 the very next year. They bring back really the reason why we think they'll be again really good next year. Almost the entire roster is back. I mean, they lose Tyler Batty, right? He's a really good edge rusher, probably going to be somewhere on day three of the NFL draft. But other than that, man, they bring back a lot of talent. Jake Retzlaff, our guy, is back at quarterback. As you can see with the
gotta bring it.
Your next list better have him a lot higher.
It'll certainly have him higher than he was last year. I know that'll haunt me for still the rest of Jake's career, at least another year of seeing that graphic every time we talk BYU. But you know, that's okay. You know, they proved me wrong, and you know what? They may just do it again this year.
They really might, man, because they bring back. I mean, I'm just looking at the roster and what they bring back. It's almost like the entire starting lineup is back, right? They lose some players, but not as much, right? Chase Roberts is a really good receiver. He's back for another year. On defense, they bring back a lot of really talented players as well. Isaiah Glasker, a linebacker, is a really, really good linebacker. He's back for another year. They have another pretty good linebacker and Harrison Taggart, who's coming back for another year as well. So really, it's again the same thing as last year. It's the same team as last year, and they won 11 games last year. Why won't they be a really good team again? That's kind of the big the hypothesis with BYU and why they should be a top contender next year.
You could argue they're maybe the easiest team because last year the Big 12 was just wildly unpredictable, right? Yep. We had teams predicted to be at the bottom like BYU and Arizona State come out on top. We had some of the top contenders fall down a bit, but I think we can come into this year feeling really good about BYU's chances. You mentioned Retzlaff. You know, I'm looking even at their schedule right now. It's a very easy out-of-conference schedule, Portland State, Stanford, East Carolina, and then they get into the Big 12 schedule where, you know, you feel like they have a good shot to win against every team. And you look at them, you've got Retzlaff, you've got Chase Roberts, like you mentioned. Keelan Marion's a really good athlete. He's a weapon out there. Parker Kingston, too, who we know as a punt returner, but he could help at receiver. The two backs in the backfield, LJ Martin and Sione Moa, who played a lot last year. Martin, in particular, gives them a very physical presence. And then you mentioned it. I look at the second level, the linebacker level of this defense, not just Isaiah Glasker, but Harrison Taggart as well. Jack Kelly, who's kind of got that hybrid thing about him, a little bit as a pass rusher, a little bit as a linebacker. And I think the biggest thing with BYU, and we learned this during the season last year, maybe they don't have like any first round talents on their team. They play such great team football in all three phases, and that was a reason they won several games. When I think about the Kansas State game early in the year, even the Colorado game, right, when you talk about they were just a more well-rounded team than Colorado was in that bowl game, even though both teams were playing all their starters, that well-roundedness, the ability to be two-dimensional on offense, the ability to not give up big plays on defense. The real questions that I have for them are pass protection and pass rush, right? They don't have that one dynamic pass rush, or even like a Tyler Batty this year. Somebody's going to have to emerge in the pass rush, but I think you look at the floor of this team with as fundamentally sound as they are, and their offense can be explosive and two-dimensional at times. You could very well argue they're the favorite to win the Big 12 next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, they bring in a couple projected starters from the transfer portal on the offensive line, like Andrew Gentry. And then they also bring in a really a talented tight end, I think, in Carson Ryan, coming in from Utah, and also played at UCLA a little bit too. So he's a talented player. I'm excited to see what he can do as a full-time starter for them next year. But yeah, like you said, Dolan, it's not really like we're talking about some teams like South Carolina. They got Dylan Stewart, right? Superstar. BYU does not have a superstar, but they have almost the entire roster coming back from last year. And they were really good last year, and they play really good, sound team football. So when you're not really relying on one guy to carry your football team, you're going to be a pretty good football team overall, and I think that's what BYU's got next year. So, again, no superstars really anywhere on this roster, but they played really well last year, and they have basically the same team coming back. So that's why BYU, along with Arizona State, should be at the top of the Big 12 again next year. Next team we're talking about, another SEC team. Only got one more after this SEC team, just telling you guys right now. But there's a loaded conference next year, as it always is. The Florida Gators for next year. Dolan, what do we like about them going into 2025?
Well, I think they're better in the trenches now than really we thought they would be going into last season, right? And you talk about a guy, one of your favorite players in the country, Jake Slaughter, the starting center, right? Yep. Tyreek Sapp, one of the highest graded edge rushers in the country, I believe. You still have Desmond Watson in there on the inside too.
Caleb Banks is really good.
The way this defensive line came on late last year, I think especially in that LSU game when they just harassed Garrett Nussmeier, really shows you the potential of that group. And then, look, the obvious one here is the potential, the ceiling of DJ Lagway, right? We saw it at times last year. We also saw some recklessness and inaccuracy at times. And the combination of what they could do with, you know, what he could do with Trey Wilson, J. Michael Sturdivant coming over from UCLA, right? Aiden Mizell. Like, I think you've got the Gators are one. And it's a loaded SEC. Jaden Bought, running back, too, is a guy we need to mention. In a loaded SEC, the Gators have as much potential, the dangerous word as always there, as any of those top teams in the SEC this year, right? And it obviously rides with Lagway and his ability, the number one high school quarterback in the country coming out when he did. I think that's what you're looking at. It's going to be, for me, about him making the in-between throws, right? I talk the same way about former Gator Anthony Richardson and just making those throws that move the chains, right? Playing with consistent footwork and consistent accuracy. If he can do that, he's got maybe the most arm talent of any quarterback in the country. There's obviously a ceiling here. The other thing to me is this finally going to be the year where we see, just like with LSU, when is their secondary going to play better?
Yeah.
Because that's really been the huge problem, too, with the Gators, is way too many explosive plays given up on defense. And again, you don't want to get in these big shootouts every week. I love their defensive line. I like what's going on in the front seven. But the secondary and then the consistency of Lagway for an entire season are the two biggest questions. But there is huge potential here. But there's also a scenario, and I think they've got a brutal schedule again, where 8-5 last year, that could also be around the same range where they are this year. It's going to depend on how they develop Lagway and how they develop the secondary.
Exactly, and I think Florida was a team, I remember we looked at the schedule for them, and then we said there's no way Billy Napier keeps his job after this year. Because we said, okay, it's probably minimum make a bowl game. And we're like, there's no way they're making a bowl game with how brutal that schedule is. And they started rattling off wins, man. They beat Ole Miss, right? They had some big-time wins at the end of the year. And we're like, okay, wait a minute. There's something there with Florida. So I think the potential of Florida is really, really intriguing. As you mentioned, it's all about DJ Lagway. This guy was one of the highest-graded quarterbacks in America last year on deep throws. He has one of the highest grade on deep throws, one of the lowest grades in America on all other throws, from 0 to 10 yards and 10 to 19 yards. He's one of the lowest graded quarterbacks in America, but from 20 plus yards, he was one of the highest graded quarterbacks in America. So he's an electric player, obviously arm talent for days, maybe the most talented quarterback in the country, but it's just about kind of developing a little bit more. Then you mentioned Jake Slaughter is the best interior O lineman coming back in college football. I thought he deserved the Remington Award last year. He was dominant again against top competition. He played some D tackles that are going to go in the first round and second round of the NFL draft, and he was still one of the highest graded centers in the country. So I love Jake Slaughter. Just getting him back for another year was massive for Florida. Trey Wilson's a really good receiver. Jay Michael Sturdivant's a really talented player as well. And then you mentioned the defense, man. I'm going through my rankings right now for D tackles and edges. I had Tyreek Sapp in the top five of my edges. He's a really, really good player. Caleb Banks was an honorable mention for my D tackles. I'm telling you guys right now, this guy is going to be like a day one or day two pick probably next year's draft. Like, he has just absurd. He's a little inconsistent right now, which is why I didn't make my list of the top 10. But if I'm making a list for the top 10 for the draft, he would be in that list, man, because he's got ridiculous length at D tackle and just some reps that he has on tape, man. It's like, dude, this guy is a freak. So I love those two, but you're right. The secondary didn't really bring in many guys in the transfer portal. You lose Jason Marshall Jr. from the secondary as well. I like Jordan Castell at safety. I like Devin Moore at cornerback, but that's going to be a big part of the team and the big question mark for the team. But, man, if DJ Lagway can become the superstar that he showed signs of he could become last year. I mean, still, listen, he had a 73 passing grade as a true freshman in the SEC. That's really good,
right?
So there is obviously development needed for him, but there's no denying he might be the most physically talented quarterback in the country.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that works in Florida's favor, as it does with several other SEC teams that we've mentioned here, is the ability to lose probably two games and still have a lot of breathing room. You look at this schedule. Now, you can sit here on one hand and go, man, that's a really rough schedule again for them. Yeah. And on the other, you go, if you go 10-2 with this schedule, you're in business. You're going to be in the top 12. I look at LSU's on here, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Ooh. And then, of course, the Florida State game at the end of it all. But you go 10-2 with that schedule, they're going to find a way to put you in the top 12. That, I mean, that's, and if we think
even
they're
9-3, they'll be like one of those teams like South Carolina or Alabama. Like, yeah. Oh, like, oh, 9-3 with that schedule, though.
And I look at these games and I go, they beat LSU last year.
Yep.
They beat Ole Miss last year. Miami's going to take probably some sort of a step back head-to-head along with the Gators taking a step forward. They were tied with Georgia without Lagway with, what, 6-7 minutes remaining in that game? I mean, they played a really good game with Georgia. You just look at the momentum the Gators had coming down the stretch last year. If Lagway's healthy and everything's fine, I know even lately there's been rumors of some sort of mystery shoulder issue with him, but you hope that doesn't carry into the season. They have enough talent to make this happen. They just have to go out there and execute both Lagway. And again, I think this secondary is going to be the biggest point of scrutiny. It has been for me the last 2 years. Yeah. They just have to find a way to not give up so many explosive plays. Keep yourself in the game. Let this talented offense work.
Absolutely. So Florida Gators led by DJ Lagway on the offense. And, of course, that loaded defensive line with Tyreek Sapp and Caleb Banks on the defense should be a talented team going to next year and should be in the mix of all those SEC teams for the college football playoff. Dolan, another team that we're high on is the Louisville Cardinals going into next year with a 9-4 record. And you see the guy on the left not wearing a Louisville uniform. They brought in one of the top transfer quarterbacks in Miller Moss, who we think is a perfect fit for the offense that Brohm runs down there in Louisville. So why do we love the Cardinals going to next year?
I think it starts there. It starts with getting Miller Moss and then Isaac Brown in the backfield, who was fantastic last year at running back as a freshman. Now they do need to figure out, you know, who's going to be the top weapon here. You lose the receiver from Alabama. Why is the name?
Oh, Ja'Cory Brooks.
Ja'Cory Brooks. Thank you. I was losing his name. We go through so many names, I lose him for a second there. But you get Chris Bell coming back. You get Colin Lacey coming back. Isaac Brown in the backfield. And I just think about the magic that Jeff Brohm has worked with so many quarterbacks, right? When you even going back to his Western Kentucky days with guys like Mike White, Aiden O'Connell at Purdue, Tyler Shuck last year, who some think is the sleeper quarterback in this year's NFL draft. But Miller Moss, I would argue, is more talented than all of them, or at least, if not more talented than maybe a former five-star guy like Shuck. Just got such a heady way of playing. He knows where to go with the football. He's very accurate when he can set his feet in the pocket. I think Moss is a perfect fit for this offense. They need to find some pieces on defense, especially in the back end. The secondary disappointed me this past year. I think another team, kind of like Miami, kind of like Florida, I've talked about, can't give up so many big plays in the secondary. I think that's really what cost them from being in the ACC title conversation last year, was too many big plays allowed in the secondary. But I think there's high potential for this offense with the backfield of Miller Moss and Isaac Brown leading the way.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, he made Tyler Shuck look like a potential. He has some people convinced that Tyler Shuck's going to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL. So if you could do that.
Oh, Jeff Brohm is the quarterback whisperer that nobody talks about enough in college football. All his quarterbacks get drafted, and they're not guys you would – again, Mike White, and he's actually had a decent NFL career. Aiden O'Connell and what he's done with the Raiders. And I think Miller Moss is right on that track, and I think even more ready to operate this offense than those guys were.
Exactly. I mean, if you told me and you that Tyler Shuck was going to be a projected second-round pick maybe in the NFL draft, we would have laughed in your face. Like, what he are you
was,
talking about,
dude? Was he like 10th or 12th somewhere in passing grade last year?
Yeah.
I mean, to take a guy like that who had the career he had. I mean, and you look at Miller Moss, we even thought with Miller Moss at USC, we still didn't really know why he was benched. I don't know if anybody knows that at this point. USC's going to roll with Jaden Maiava, but Miller Moss, Louisville, if he's going to keep bringing in transfer quarterbacks and doing this, Jack Plummer first, right? Plummer, he had a really good season. They made the ACC title game with Jack Plummer. And then last year, Tyler Shuck was a top 12 quarterback in the country. I mean, what he could do with Miller Moss, especially with the run game and Isaac Brown and everything around him, there's a high potential. And the ACC is not the thickest conference by any means. Like, I could sit here and say confidently Louisville right now is a top four team in the SEC.
Yeah, I think at least a top four team. Yeah, I mean, they're right. SMU, I think they're in argument with. Yeah, they're definitely top four of Miami, too. But, they're a good team, man. And you look at what Miller Moss was last year. He still had, over a 70 passing grade, 76.5 passing grade. That was top 40 in the country. And it was not a great situation at USC that last year. I'll tell you that much right now. The offensive line was not good at all at USC. The receiving core was wildly disappointing. I mean, there are guys that we thought were going to have massive breakout years, like Zachariah Branch, just never happened with him. So it wasn't a great situation at USC last year, and he still was one of the top 40 graded passers in the country. And like you said, going into a situation now in Jeff Brohm's offense where you look at what kind of quarterback he is, Miller Moss is a very heady quarterback. We actually interviewed Miller Moss. If you want to check out the interview on our channel during the season last year, and he's just a very smart and intelligent quarterback. I think Jeff Brohm's going to love this guy. He's going to be hand in hand with him in the offense next year. And then not only him, man, you got Isaac Brown coming back, my number two running back in college football, only behind Jeremiah Love. Isaac Brown had 1,168 rushing yards last year, the most of any returning running back in the Power Four. And he led the Power Four with 7.2 yards per carry. Not returning running backs in the Power Four, all Power Four running backs with 7.2 yards per carry. So by all accounts, one of the best running backs in America is Isaac Brown. And then you got guys on they lose a lot on that defense. Like, obviously, Ashton Gelati is probably the biggest name from that. But you got guys like Stanquan Clark coming back at linebacker, who's a really good player as well. So the defense is going to be a question mark for them going into next year. But with Merlin Moss and with Isaac Brown in a you know, not a very difficult Power Four conference in the ACC, I think Louisville is absolutely still in the mix.
Another guy I'm very curious on the offensive side is Colin Lacey. Some injuries last year, didn't quite get to make the impact that he did at South Alabama before that, but I think Colin Lacey is somebody who could break out this time around as long as he's healthy.
Absolutely. So, I mean, Louisville, we talk about the quarterback development Jeff Brohm's had with them. They were 19-8 over his 2 years as the head coach. That's their best two-year stretch since joining the ACC a decade ago. Even with Lamar Jackson, Louisville's never been this good. So he's a very, very good head coach, and now you're giving him maybe the best quarterback he's had so far in Miller Moss. I'm excited to see what Louisville can do with that team next year. Let's get to another Big 12 team, though, Dalton, and the Kansas State Wildcats, who were 8-5 last year and should remain one of the top Big 12 teams once again, as they always are. Really, why they're going to be good again? Just the same old Kansas State, man. They bring back the same kind of, you know, great defense and really relying on the running game. Avery Johnson, who I thought developed pretty nicely going into the second half of last year. Dylan Edwards is back at running back as well. I know DJ Giddens is gone, but Dylan Edwards is a really good running back as well. And then another guy I think is not getting a lot of hype right now, but Austin Romaine. He's a rising junior linebacker. I'm telling you guys right now, he's at least a top three linebacker in the country. And honestly, I've not made my rankings yet. He might be my number one linebacker in the country. This guy is an amazing, amazing player, especially as a run defender for Kansas State. So stopping the run and running the ball is how Kansas State wins games, and that should be the blueprint next year too.
For sure. Look, they always have a high floor as a very good team, right? That, you know, Chris Kleiman's always got this unit rolling. They're always generally the more physical team on the field when they play. I think the big question here is, it's Avery Johnson, and it's his arm, right? I think there were moments last year where you saw some really good things as a passer, and there was other times, especially in the games that they lost, right? You think about the Houston game in particular, a game that they really had no business losing, turning the ball over, falling behind against Arizona State, and relying on Avery Johnson's arm to bring them back. It's just not their wheelhouse, right? They're great. We talked about it all last season. They're great when they get ahead of you, and they're not so great when you get ahead of them, right? So I think Johnson raising the ceiling of this offense, this has to be the year where his arm develops into something at least above average to complement the run game. And I'm talking about outside of play action, right? They need to be able to drop back and throw the football. The defense is going to be fundamentally sound. And the fun part with Kansas State, I think we had kind of a fun time going, okay, who's the other Big 12 team we're going to pick here? Because we could do a whole episode like this on the entire Big 12, because I think for most of them, we could make a case for them to win the conference. I know Arizona State and BYU are kind of ahead of the curve right now, I think. But I even look at a team like Utah with Devin Dampier coming in there. You have some other good ones. TCU and Baylor were kind of getting hot down the stretch last season. So, you know, K-State is a team that we know for sure is going to win in somewhere in that 8-9 game range. And is Avery, to me, it's just about Avery Johnson. It's about, can the passing game improve enough to win those big games, or to win one or two games where they fall behind early? We see too many times with this team, when they fall behind, there's not a whole lot of answers, right? And when they have to force themselves into the passing game, it feels like they're reluctantly doing so. Is Johnson, it's funny because we always think about dual threats as, okay, guys who are good passers and can run. Can Johnson become an actual dual threat in the sense of, okay, we know he's a fantastic runner. He can hit a home run every play with his feet. Can he give you enough in the drop back passing game to balance this offense out and really make this team as dangerous as they could be?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, they lose a lot of talent. Obviously, they have a lot of transfers coming in that are going to probably play a big role in their team next year. But they're their model of consistency in the Big 12 in what's a very inconsistent conference. I mean, they've lost four games in three straight years now. So obviously, losing four games in the Big 12 is not going to get you into the college football playoff. But it is a very consistent program. It's just, all right, can you, you know, get to two losses maybe and then get into the playoff that way?
That's the big number for me. I'm probably going to scream this all season, where you're going to get sick of me hearing about it. Without play action this past year, Avery Johnson, 63.6 passing grade. That's the one number. That might be the only number that matters to me at all, because we know everything else is going to be a constant. Now, I'm curious to see Dylan Edwards as the lead back there. He's a dynamic player too, as we saw last year. But that's what it's going to be. Can you get to 10-2? Can you get in the conference title game? And can Avery Johnson win you a game, a big game, with his arm? dropping back, throwing the football. When adversity hits this team, I think that's the part that makes them so frustrating, is that it's the adversity that they can't punch through that other teams in the Big 12 punched through last year.
Absolutely. He still was good overall, obviously, with an 81.8 overall grade, but it's going to be interesting to see how he could do in his junior year now, as his second year with the Kansas State Wildcats as their quarterback. So Kansas State, again, very consistent program, and they should be consistent once again next year and probably remain in the mix in the Big 12. Don't know if they make it all the way to the playoff, but we'll see in a wide-open conference next year. We got one guy in the chat, Dolan Wyatt Wells, saying that he thinks Miller Moss could be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft with Jeff Brohm as the head coach. Maybe.
I mean,
the physical tools aren't the best of Miller Moss.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing, is physically he makes up for. Now, he's going to be a coach's best friend because he makes up for.
He'll be a future coach, I think.
I think so, too. I think you talk about any. Look, he could be an NFL starter. I don't think he would go top 10 when you consider a lot of his lack of physical tools are made up for with his mental tools, right? His processing and his accuracy and his timing. But a top 10 pick in the draft would be a little steep unless he had just an amazing year. Because if we're talking about even a guy like Shedeur Sanders could fall because of his lack of physical tools, I would say Miller Moss's is even less than that. But he could very well get drafted. I could see it in the draft's first two rounds. Somewhere in there. If he has a great year, and again, I think coaches and scouts are going to love the way he plays the game. It's just going to be a matter of how much is that ceiling limited by relatively average tools.
Absolutely. All right, next team we're talking about is a team, Dalton, that I will admit, hand up, we effed up in our way too early top 25. We did not have them in the top 25. They should have been in there. That is the Illinois Fighting Illini. 10-3 record last year. Fantastic year for Illinois, and they bring back a lot of key players. Luke Altmaier back at quarterback. Xavier Scott is a really, really good corner. Matthew Bailey is a good safety as well. I mean, they bring back almost the entirety of their defense from last year. So Illinois has got a lot of big pieces coming back defensively, have some nice pieces coming back offensively as well. Obviously, the big question is that receiving core after losing Pat Bryant and Zachary Franklin. But you look at this team right now, I think with Josh McCray at running back, who's a really, really good running back, and Luke Altmaier, who had a good year at quarterback, and a surprisingly good year at quarterback, honestly, Illinois is absolutely a top 25 team. We messed up not having them in there.
Yeah, probably. I don't know that I would have them, as some sources have them, in the top 10. That's a little steep, but they are bringing back a lot. They play fantastic, aggressive, fundamentally sound defense under Brett Bielema. And I think a big thing for me, too, is getting back the majority of this offensive line, right, especially the two tackles, J.C. Davis and Melvin Priestley. You want the reason that Luke Altmaier had a really good year last year, because he was protected. They had a big jump in pass protection. The only two teams that really struggled with in that area is when they played Michigan and they played Penn State, but nobody could block those teams anyway. When you look at the teams that they were able to block up front and give Luke Altmaier time to work with, he was really good last year, and I think you've got a manageable schedule here for Illinois. You're going to have a very good defense, and you mentioned it. Having to replace two NFL receivers is going to be the big question. So at tight end, I like what they have. I think Tanner Arkin is a very underrated player at tight end. They should be able to run the football with more continuity on that offensive line this year. Replacing those receivers will be big, and Altmaier continuing the consistency and clean pockets. But you've got a really good base to work with here in Illinois, and maybe a dark horse to kind of sneak into that conversation like Indiana did last year.
So Illinois won 10 games last year. The last time they did that was 2001. Was the last time the Illinois Fighting Illini won 10 games in a year, when Brandon Lloyd was their leading receiver that year. So it's been a long time since Illinois was that good, but they should remain a interesting team in the Big Ten. Don't know if they'll win the Big Ten next year, but listen, the Big Ten is probably going to get three or four teams every single year in the college football playoff. Illinois has a talent to at least be in that mix.
It would be reasonable to think. I know Ohio State's always talented. Oregon's talented as hell. Michigan's got talent, but they're kind of young, right? It would be reasonable to think that Illinois could finish in third, let's say 10-2, third place. If you're 10-2, same thing in the Big Ten.
You're in.
Depending on the losses, you're probably getting there. I mean, we saw with Indiana, it was a very soft schedule that got them to 11-1 and in, but I think Illinois' is probably a little bit better than that. You've got Duke out of conference, Indiana, USC, Ohio State, Washington, Wisconsin. I mean, there's some games here to build a resume with. I think it's very realistic to think that Illinois could be in that third place mix.
Absolutely. All right, another Big Ten team that could be in the mix as well is the team that won three of the last four Big Ten championships and three, obviously made three of the last four college football playoffs, but they did not make it last year, and that is the Michigan Wolverines. So Again, Dalton, there's some question marks with this team, but they have, again, what should be a really good defense with Rod Moore coming back from injury as big time. Derek Moore at edge rusher is a really good edge. Rayshon Benny at D tackle, one of the top D tackles in the country. Yes, even after losing two first round picks in Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, they have another really good defensive tackle and Rayshon Benny. The big reason why, Dalton, they might be a team to watch out for next year, though, they bring in one of the highest-rated quarterback recruits ever, and people think that Bryce Underwood might be the guy immediately for the next year.
Yeah, I mean, they brought in Mikey Keene, who's a solid player from Fresno State, but when you look at Mikey Keene and you compare him to Bryce Underwood and you look at the talent level, you sit there and wonder, do you have to play him? Do you kind of
pay $4 million to get him?
Well, and I know Keene's a good experienced player who's done a lot of good things at UCF and at Fresno State, but it feels like that's kind of a conservative approach, right? He's a very conservative passer who works a lot underneath, and it feels like you almost feel like the offense would look the same way it did last year. It was so conservative, and the passing game was so held up by a lack of verticality, and now you don't even have Colston Loveland there at tight end. I mean, yeah. We have to talk about this passing game being the biggest X factor, but I'm with you. I think this defense makes them very, very dangerous. Rayshon Benny, TJ Guy, Jayshon Barum, who I think they're going to use maybe a little more in an edge role this year. You mentioned Rod Moore coming back, Jair Hill at corner. You've got a lot of talented players. Jaden McBurrow's at the nickel spot. I think Michigan's defense, per usual, is going to make them a dangerous team. What do we look like here philosophically on offense? Because let's be real. Underwood left his commitment, or sophomore, whatever it was, with LSU or those negotiations to go to Michigan, a place where statistically you would think he's not going to put up the freak numbers that he would at LSU, right? That's a much more passing-oriented offense and maybe for the chance to start in his freshman year. But is Underwood alone good enough to add that vertical element that they need in this offense that was just completely missing last year? They couldn't throw the ball more than 5 yards last year, right? I mean, the forward pass just in general was an issue. Does he raise the ceiling of this offense? You still have to like the running game. They brought Justice Haynes in there. They're always going to find ways to run the football. But that would be the biggest question. If they can complement the rest of this team with the passing game, their defense is going to make them really dangerous in the Big Ten. And look, at least when they're playing Ohio State head-to-head, they apparently still have the mental advantage there. So I think you have a lot. It's kind of like Florida for me a little bit. You have a lot of potential with Michigan, and they ended the year hot, especially the Alabama win in the bowl game with essentially their second string guys was huge, I think, going into this season. But they have to figure out this passing game quick.
I mean, they have a brand new offensive line as well. So that's another thing to keep an eye on. The receiving core is still a major question mark, especially after losing a guy like Colston Loveland, who was really their entire offense last year when you think about it. So, yeah, Justice Haynes is a nice running back, but you got Bryce Underwood, who's one of the highest-rated quarterbacks to ever come out of high school. But is that enough? Can Bryce Underwood, as a true freshman, elevate the rest of the offense? Because, again, I think it's the same question marks outside of really quarterback that we had last year, where it's like, hey, do they have the offensive line? Do they have the weapons? And it obviously didn't work out for them last year. Now you got a defense who they do lose some pieces defensively too. But like I said, they do bring back a lot of really talented players. But it's going to be interesting with Michigan next year. And really, it's just a matter of, okay, there's so much hype with Bryce Underwood. How much of it is warranted? How much of it can he be a Trevor Lawrence in his true freshman year, where he goes out and is one of the best quarterbacks in America, wins the national title and all that? Probably not like at that level. And also, Lawrence had way more talent in that Clemson team than Michigan has right now. But how good is Underwood, right? Because you never know with these guys that are so highly rated, they can come in and they can elevate you. I mean, we see it all the time in football. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the best supporting cast in Kansas City, but he elevates it, and they're competing for championships because of that. That's how good he is. Maybe Bryce Underwood for college football is the same thing. Maybe Bryce Underwood is that good of a player that he can elevate. Jaden Daniels did it last year with Washington. He could elevate everyone else. That's a big question mark. That's why they're here right now, is because this kid is talked about in that light of, hey, the highest rated guys we've ever seen at quarterback, he's up there with him. That's the big question, is, okay, how good is he, this guy, immediately? There's no doubt about his talent, but how ready is he to come in immediately and be in the Big Ten and be one of the top quarterbacks in the country?
Yeah, and look, again, the question we're asking on this show is not, can he win a national championship?
No.
I'm not picking Michigan to win a national
title. No, neither am I.
Can he make a 12-team playoff? Again, can they get in that, let's say, even third place in the Big Ten competition? If Underwood were to hit the ceiling and be as good as everybody thinks he is that early, Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Because you look at him and you look at him potentially, honestly, with, I think that's something not said enough in the Big Ten right now. You have Drew Aller at Penn State. And then you have a lot of unproven or guys in new situations at quarterback. You have potentially Underwood as a true freshman, Dante Moore at Oregon, right?
Yep.
We don't know what's going on at Ohio State yet, if it's Julian Sayin or whoever that may be. Indiana's got Fernando Mendoza. Altmaier maybe is the second most stable guy right now that we know the most about, but the Big Ten does not have a lot of quarterback stability. So if he comes in there and hits the ceiling, you make an argument that, you know, between him, maybe Dylan Raiola too, yep, at Nebraska's got a boatload of talent. But you could argue that within the next year, year and a half, that Underwood could easily be the best quarterback in the conference.
Yeah, and listen, we talk about all the time is, yeah, you know, your supporting cast might not be great, but a quarterback can elevate that so quickly. Sure. Like, if Michigan had one last year, who knows how good they would have been last year, right? If you had a top 10 quarterback, or like, who knows how good they would have been? That's the question mark, is how good is Bryce Underwood immediately? There's no doubt he probably will have a successful career in college football, but is he ready day one to be the guy for Michigan next year? That's going to be the big question with them. The final team, Dalton, that we're going to throw out there.
Taking a swing here.
Big swing.
And this one's you especially. This is your swing. You're taking the talent swing on this one.
This one's me, because we had a team like Ole Miss in the mix, and they are absolutely still in the mix next year. If we had 13 teams that can make the playoff, they would be in there. One I want to throw in there, they were not even a bowl-eligible team last year, was the Auburn Tigers. Because, Dalton, I'm looking at this roster right now. Man, if they can't do it next year, it might be curtains for Hugh Freeze, because this talent on this roster is outrageous, man. You got Jackson Arnold coming in at quarterback from Oklahoma, showed some signs last year. It was a horrible situation in Oklahoma last year. So, of course, you know, it wasn't the best situation for him in terms of offensive line, and the receiving corps was ridiculously banged up last year. Like, the top four or five receivers, it seemed like last year, were out almost the entire season. So, was not a great situation in Oklahoma last year. Jackson Arnold, still a very talented player coming into Auburn. He will have a lot of talent to work with at Auburn, though, because that receiving corps, led by Cam Coleman, led by Eric Singleton Jr., coming in from Georgia Tech, one of the top receivers in the country. Auburn has two of my top 10 wide receivers in college football going to next year. Malcolm Simmons was a really good player as a true freshman last year as well. Perry Thompson made some plays as a true freshman last year. So they have a loaded, loaded receiving core. The offensive line was an issue last year, but they bring back a lot of guys who played a lot. Connor Lewis, one of the top centers in the country. Xavier Chaplin was one of the top tackles in the transfer portal that got him from Virginia Tech. And then defensively, man, they've got guys. They got Keldrick Falk at edge rusher. He just missed my edge rankings. I think he's a very, very physically talented player who, again, could be a top draft prospect for next year. And then the secondary, man, is really loaded with young talent, like Caleb Harris, really good player. Jay Crawford's a really good player as well. So you just look at this Auburn team. They have one of the best receiving corps in the country. They kind of retooled the offensive line a little bit by getting in Xavier Chaplin. They brought in Jackson Arnold, a quarterback. And then the defense has a lot of really good players that are young players as well. I think Auburn has a big chance to break out next year.
They have the makings of what should be a well-rounded team, a good defensive team. They're losing, I would argue, their best pass rusher in Jalen McLeod, but they've got others coming in. And I think I look at this team and I go, it really is about what we think of Jackson Arnold.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. Now, again, it's former five-star recruiter?
Yeah,
was a five-star. I know you're always on top of that. I have a wonder, not just about his arm and getting to throw those fantastic receivers, because like you mentioned, Cam Coleman's as talented as any kid in the country. Eric Singleton's done great work the last 2 years for Georgia Tech. You mentioned Malcolm Simmons as well, getting Horatio Fields in from Wake Forest. He was a solid player for them. But Arnold, I almost wonder, because I think back to Oklahoma upsetting Alabama last year, right? And Arnold beat them with his legs. And we know Hugh Freeze likes a quarterback that can move too and can get involved in the run game. So I think he might try to use him as more of the dual threat that we saw late down the stretch last season. And honestly, you know what it is for me with Arnold being on a team like this with potentially a much better offensive line and obviously a much better receiving core is allowing him to play free. Has it felt like at times when we've seen him, he's played too tight? Like at Oklahoma, he had to make up for everything, and just it was a poor offensive line. They were one of the worst pass protecting teams in the Power Four. Was that right? I think I remember that stat. I mean, so many injuries, so much dysfunction on offense last year, still managed to have some good moments down the stretch. That's what it comes down to. Because honestly, for Auburn the last couple of years, I know Peyton Thorne had some flashes, but Auburn's had a wicked talented team the last couple of years too. And just not enough production at quarterback. If they can get that with Arnold this year, then you're right. They're a dangerous team with a good defense, with a good running game. Hugh Freeze teams always find ways to run the football. It doesn't matter who's in the backfield. He schemes it up very, very well. But to have this set of weapons And this offensive line you mentioned, led by the center, Connor Lue, one of the best players in the country, Arnold's got a chance. It is. I will give you this. This team gives Jackson Arnold a legitimate chance. Yeah. Last year's Oklahoma team never did that. They didn't give Arnold a chance. Yeah. They didn't give Michael Hawkins a chance. We could talk about Oklahoma later. We will. This team gives – when you have that much talent around you, and then a defense that can also make stops. You mentioned the secondary could be a really good unit.
Yeah.
When you have all of that working together, you just need to go out there and play freely. So is there a chance? Absolutely. I think Auburn has as much talent with the recruiting base, certainly, that they've gotten into the last couple of years. They have as much talent as most teams in the SEC. They need the quarterback to go out there and execute offensively.
Absolutely. I mean, just look at – I mean, they're two true freshmen they had in that secondary. Played a lot in the secondary last year in Caleb Harris and Jay Crawford. Both had 75-plus grades last year as true freshmen in the SEC. That's very, very good for two true freshmen. And you mentioned that's a big thing with Jackson Arnold that I'm holding out hope for, is that, like you said, he never had even a chance at Oklahoma with how bad that offensive line was and then how beat up that receiving corps was. It legitimately, I looked it up, and you combine the offensive line grade and receiving grade, it was one of the worst supporting casts in college football. Not only Power 5, but also FBS in total, because of how bad those two units were, all the injuries and also the offensive line, just how bad they played last year.
Do you want a fun fact as far as grading goes with Auburn? They were the highest overall offense, defense, everything. They were the highest graded team in the country that had a losing record last year. Sandwiched at 23rd. Between Florida and Colorado.
Yeah.
This is what you're talking about, is a team that just, in tight games especially, I think about, which game was it? Was it the Oklahoma game where Peyton Thorne threw the pick six late? Yeah. And it was like, it was just those, in those moments, they just can't pull out games because they didn't have the quarterback play to do it. But they were the highest graded team in the country that had a losing record last year. When you're grading that high, even most of the teams in their range that I'm seeing, 8, 9, 10 game winners, right? They're only two spots behind Georgia in these rankings. I go, if this is how they're grading and this is how their team is playing on the field, they need to win more ball games, and the regression, in theory, should come, especially with all the talent they've added in the portal.
And they graded out that high, and I think they improved too, right? So there is question marks about the run game now after losing Jarquez Hunter at running back, but, I mean, man, they brought back almost a lot of the other key contributors from last year, and then that offense could really be taking off with guys like Jackson Arnold and Eric Singleton Jr. coming in. Like that, you bring in a top five receiver in the country and a former five-star quarterback who finally has a chance now at Auburn. I think Auburn, this is the year. If this is not the year, I think they'd be looking for a new coach.
You're going to learn a lot about, I think, Arnold's character, too. Coming back from last year, it's going to be, like we've already put out here and from certain people, shout out Zach Tantillo, about expectations this year with this amount of talent. That's going to be the biggest thing, is Arnold and even Hugh Freeze handling those expectations and being able to go out, just be loose.
Yeah.
Just go out there, play loose, be yourself. You've got a ton of talent around you. Just use it in an efficient manner.
And they're recruiting at a very high level, too. Yeah. So that's another thing. They are bringing in talent. It's just a matter of, can you put it together and make a run for the college football playoff next year? But that wraps up the 12 teams that did not make the college football playoff last year that we think have a shot at making it next year. If we missed any teams, let us know in the comments below who you think could be crashing the playoff field next year. Of course, we have plenty more videos coming out surrounding college football and the 2025 NFL draft. We're just about a month and a half away now from the 2025 NFL draft, so we can't wait to break that all down with you guys. Make sure you guys subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of our videos coming out. For producer Eli and Tyler back there, for Dalton Wasp, I'm Max Chadwick. We'll see you guys next time.